when you want an opportunity to hear from people all over the sports world, there's only one voice to trust to bring those stories to you. Here now with a special guest is Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app from the Google Play Store, as well as all Apple products, your iPhone, iPad, and iPod, as well as on iTunes, the free podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, as you hear us here doing a little bit of a live show. I had an opportunity to sit down here with Dennis Hennigan, the new coordinator of officials for the ACC's football, and everything that has come from this. Doug Rhodes has been on the show numerous times, and Doug obviously held the flag pretty strongly for the ACC, and now that's been given to Dennis, and I'm very happy to have Dennis here with me to talk about so many different things, including his history and how he got into everything. So without further ado, I welcome Dennis to the show. Dennis, how you doing?
Good, Dan. Glad to be here.
Now, first and foremost, I know you and I talked about it a little bit off the air, but what got you started in the realm of officiating?
Well, I had played at CBA here locally and then over at the University of Rochester for Pat Stark, a Syracuse native. And after I got out of Rochester, my roommate and I just decided to get into high school officiating. That was back in 1976, and just started from there.
When you and your friend decided to get into officiating, what was it that just drew you to it that made you think, why not?
Just a way to stay involved in the game. You know, you've been playing it my whole life, and this was just a way to stay involved, and didn't really know anyone who did it, but it looked like it would be something that would be fun.
When you got involved with your friend back then, well, first and foremost, is this friend still involved? I mean, are they in?
Yeah, she's a fellow. His name is Mark McEnany, okay. And he and I officiate. We came up together. He worked in the Big East for many years. He's now a replay official for the American Conference.
Okay. So, over the years, what's the conversation been like between the two of you saying, you know, when you wanted to stay in the game to think, hey, why not? And you go to the high school level and say, hey, we want to be officials, to where you stand today. I mean, what is that conversation looking
like?
Well,
you know, what happens is you start off in high school and you have a goal of working Liverpool CBA or the sectional final. And then you work hard, you get into college. Of course, you start off at Division III. You want to work Cortland Ithaca. And then it just progresses from there. And, you know, hopefully what happens is somebody takes a liking to you, gives you an opportunity to move up to the next level. You perform and just keep progressing.
Do you have any regrets on the road of where you started to where you are right now?
None. I've had just great opportunities, worked for great supervisors, made lifelong friends. No regrets at all.
Who are some of the best that you've gotten to either work under or work with, some of those people that are memorable to you?
Well, in terms of supervisors, I've only had four.
Okay.
In my career. Started out with a fellow named Al Benson with the ECAC, then John Sophie when I was with the Big East. He was succeeded by Terry McCauley, and then the last couple of years with Doug Rhodes in the ACC. And you take the good of from each of them, what they have to offer and what they can teach you. So I learned a lot from every one of them.
What are some of the biggest things that you've been able to take away as far as becoming a better official? Because, I mean, you know, armchair quarterbacks around the world are a better official than all officials, allegedly, but what have you been able to take and say, you know what, 4 or 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I did this, but now I've learned? What are some of those things that maybe you've evolved over time?
Well, I think what you learn, first of all, is you have to control what you can control, and that's being in shape, knowing the rules, the kind of effort you put in on the field. And then, you know, the ball has to bounce your way during the course of a game. And so you just, what you learn as you go through officiating is you you can't meet emotion with emotion when you're an official. Coaches are going to be emotional. That's understandable. That's expected. Their livelihood's at stake.
Right.
Every Saturday. As an official, you have to be the unemotional one in that relationship.
How do you balance between showing your emotion in your family and then turning it off when you're an official?
My family would probably tell you I don't show much emotion there either. But you, when you take the field, you, particularly as a referee, which I was, you just have to take the approach and the attitude that you're the person in charge during the course of the game. And if you're going to fail, it's going to be because you were doing it your way and not trying to be something you're not.
Is it strange for you to sit here with me today and say when I was an official?
It is. It's still hard to put that in the past tense.
Because I could kind of tell it, you know, just looking at you here talking, that saying was is something that you're getting used to still.
Yes, I am.
So you're in the ACC, good friend that you grew up with, and obviously you're both still in the profession. He's in the American Athletic Conference. What's it like having that now? I mean, is there any playful jarring or anything between he's in the American, you're in the ACC? I mean, do you guys discuss any of that ever? Being in different places?
We do. I mean, I still know a lot of the guys who work in the American, which, of course, is the old Big East. But there's probably been 15 guys who moved from the Big East to the ACC that are now working for the ACC. And in the officiating world, you're always talking to guys from other conferences about plays or situations that they had. It's always best to learn from someone else's mistakes.
What are some, because I know anybody that believes in their profession and loves their profession, when I ask this question, you have an answer no matter what walk of life, whether you're a broadcaster, an official, a coach, a player. What are some of those calls that were really difficult for you that stick on your mind to this day? I mean, there's got to be, not necessarily, I mean, some, I'm not saying that they haunt you, but some of those really difficult calls that maybe you watched it back and said, I could have done it a different way, or maybe one that you got right that was just difficult for you.
Well, officials always say you're never going to do a perfect game, and you never will.
Right.
You always come off the field, or at least I did, knowing that I could have done something better. But as I look back on my career, there's no call or calls that really stand out.
Yeah.
What stands out is the people you work with. You know, the games sort of all flow together, and you have a tendency to really forget the details of the games. You never forget the guys you work with and the friendships you made. That's the best part of officiating.
Hey, Central New York, this is your wake-up call. It's your favorite Kill Girls, Pamela and Storm. Have you visited our location between Brugger's and Hampton Inn, right off of Erie Boulevard?
Come visit our world-famous Kill Girls and be immersed in the best sports experience of your life.
Tilted Kilt, your premier sports pub where
a cold beer never looks so good.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's DREISSIG apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. DREISSIG apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's DREISSIG apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com. And all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory, fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Did you ever work on an officiating crew where one official was kind of a loose cannon? A little bit difficult to corral and maybe all be on the same mindset or path?
You know, I was fortunate. I was never on a crew where we had a problem getting along. There have been crews like that, but I've been fortunate never to have had that situation.
So you've been in a lot of different bowls. I believe you said 15 different bowl games. What are those like? How do you treat it like any other game? Do you get pumped up for it? I mean, what's it like for you?
The best part of a bowl game is that it means you had a good year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get selected based on your performance during the regular season. And people will ask, how do you get chosen for a bowl game? And what I say is, when I get selected, it was based on merit. And when I didn't get selected, it must have been politics. So that's how most officials feel. Bowls are special. Bowls are great. It's everyone's been a great experience. Never been to a bad bowl game. Because there are plenty of guys sitting at home who would love to be where you are.
Obviously, it's a college football playoff system now. But used to be the BCS National Championship. You got to do BCS National Championship game. Bring me into what you remember from being a part of that.
That was down in the Superdome. It was LSU and Oklahoma. And I will say that was the most nervous I ever was before a game. Just because of what was at stake.
Yeah.
Bob Stoops was the Oklahoma coach, and Nick Saban was coaching LSU at the time. Really didn't have any issues with either one of them in the course of the game.
Yeah.
I think, if I recall, LSU won 17-14.
Okay.
If my memory's correct.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. When you look at, I know you said officiating crews, you've never really had a problem. Have you had any tough coaches to corral in or go off and speak? I mean, you can't give a technical to it, you know, to a coach in football. You can in basketball. But have you ever had a moment where you go over to the sideline and you're explaining yourself and you're listening to the coach and you just got to a point where you're like, you know what, buddy, I'm done, and you walk away?
Yes, you have those situations. You know, some coaches are more vocal, more emotional than others. And you do reach a point in those discussions on the sideline where you just have to say to the coach, if you're just going to yell at me, you know, it's time to get on with the game. If you want to have a discussion, we'll have a discussion. Yeah, I mean, one of the traits of a good official is knowing when you've reached that point, when you do say to a coach, enough, I've heard enough, it's time to move on.
Yeah. How has it been over the years? Have you had a lot of those unfortunate discussions, or do you feel like you've had the ability to kind of create a peaceful response out of the situation? I mean, how do you feel you've handled some of those adversity moments?
Well, I've handled them better the more experience I've had.
Okay.
Because you learn how to you learn how to handle people. You learn how to respond to people. And you let coaches have their say because, as I say, this is their livelihood at stake. But there does come a point where you have to say, I've heard enough. I get your point. If it happened the way you said it happened, we missed it, but that's not what I saw. And then you move on.
One of the penalties that is commonly called, I'm going to ask you about this because I believe I asked Doug Rhodes about this before when he sat in the seat of ACC coordinator of officiating. When you look at holding penalties, is it fair to say that the majority of the time or almost every play, there's some type of holding, you just don't call it every time?
No.
Okay.
No. That's I'll be watching a game with my wife and she'll say, how can that not be holding? But no, that you cannot call holding every play. What we want from our officials before they call holding is for it to be a clear and visible restriction that affects the play, typically.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen every play. To the untrained eye, I'm sure you can look at the interaction between the offensive lineman and the defense and say he's holding him, and I would look at the same play and say, Dan, that's not a hold.
Concussion wise, helmet to helmet hits, with somebody going with the intent to injure, all the spots you can't hit a player now, the defenseless players that are on the field. How do you feel that's affecting the game? Do you think that it is getting the point across? Because I know I talked with Doug in the past and he said statistically we're minimizing, head injuries and we're minimizing the amount of times that we have to call this or eject a player or something like that. How do you feel it's going with the new rules changes over time and trying to protect, obviously, the brain of all these players that are out there?
Well, it's the number one issue, in football. And I think at the collegiate level, we've done a great job coaching it out of the game and officiating it out of the game. I think in the ACC last year there were 10 targeting calls. And our numbers were consistent with other conferences across the country. I think we're doing a good job of getting it out of the game.
Do you feel that football is still football? Because I know some people, and we're not talking about helmet to helmet, but there's some people that joke that when we go 5 years from now, you're going to have to two-hand touch somebody or rip a flag or something like that, that you're not going to be able to ever hit a quarterback. How are you kind of looking at the way football is going? Do you think it's losing any of what it is? Because to me, it's not. But I'm talking about other people that might listen to my show or have said things to me in the past that they think that there might be a lack of what they remember football to be.
Yeah, I think sometimes what people remember football to be wasn't quite the way it was. But I don't think taking targeting, those types of hits out of the game, lessens the quality of the game or the type of game at all. And if you look at the numbers, there's an increase in the number of colleges that are playing football, particularly at the Division III level.
And when you come up to where you are now, did you envision this when you said, I'm interested in officiating high school football? Did you ever think that you would come to a Power 5 conference and not only be an official, but to oversee all the officials in that conference?
No, I never dreamed of this. As I said, when you first start out, you want to do the big high school game. That's your goal.
Yeah.
I started thinking about supervising several years ago, but there just aren't very many opportunities for these types of positions, so I never really had it as a goal of mine, but when the opportunity arose, I decided to pursue it.
And how did it all come about that Doug Rhodes decided to step down and that you found your place where you are now as the ACC coordinator of officiating? What were the steps between Doug leaving and you coming in?
Well, Doug announced in early February, I think, that he wasn't going to be returning for the 2015 season, and the conference solicited applications. I put my application in, Went through an interview process with the folks down in Greensboro. The commissioner and the assistant commissioner had a couple of interviews. And lo and behold, here I am.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissigLady.com, ladycom. With the bamboo line, relax fit clothing, as well as the athletic fit clothing, DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DreissigLady.com ladycom. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing. And don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissigLady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to. Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today.
What can you say about John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, and your relationship with him, as well as going through that process with him?
I think the world of John, and I can just give you a quick anecdote which will show you the kind of person he is. After I got hired, I went to Army to meet with the coach there, because we officiate Army's games. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving back from West Point. I stopped somewhere on Route 17 to get gas, and my cell phone rings. and I answer the phone, and it's John Swofford. I have been on the job for a week or whatever, and he's calling me to see how things are going, to ask me if there's anything I need, anything he can do for me. That's the kind of person he is.
So now you're the coordinator of officiating. Instead of being an official, you're now overseeing the officials in the ACC. Will you now be, and I think this is an easy question to answer, but it's a two-part one. The first one, will you be overseeing people that you are officiating with and friends that you have? And the second part of that, how are you going to tackle that?
Yes, I'll be overseeing officials that I've worked with. One of the officials on the staff is a fellow I was on the same crew with for 17 years.
And who was that?
A fellow named Gary Dantzowitz from Boston. And as I mentioned to you, there are probably 15 former Big East officials who are on our staff, all of whom I've worked with. And there are several ACC guys who were on the ACC staff prior to me coming that I've worked with, so I've developed relationships. You know, all I can do is to be fair to everybody. And all I ask of the fellas I have relationships with is for them not to take advantage of that relationship, to expect any special treatment. And, you know, as long as I treat everyone fairly, I don't think it'll be an issue.
Now, you've been on this, like you said, going to visit Army, but you've been on the road going to visit staffs. And at the time that we're talking here in early to mid-June, for those that might be listening after the fact, what teams have you been out to see of the ACC so far?
Probably 10, 11 of the teams I've seen.
And I know that we're coming right off the heels of you going to see Syracuse's staff. And what type of things, when you're meeting with the ACC teams, what are you looking to accomplish? Are you asking questions? And what are those things that you're trying to get across?
I want to build a relationship with the head coach and with the staff, and I want to give them an idea of what my philosophies are in terms of officiating, how I'm going to operate as the coordinator, what I expect from the staff. And then in several of the meetings, we actually sit there and watch film, and they want to know my opinion on calls.
So when you get to do that with different staffs, how has it been? Have you found that you've been on the same mindset, or have you kind of joked around and had a head coach say, well, you know, this is clearly pass interference, and you're saying that I don't see it at all?
We've had those situations.
Okay.
Which in May and June nobody gets too upset about.
Yeah.
Everyone's undefeated now.
Right. How do you handle it when you've gone through that with the coaches? Because obviously you're building a relationship, and they're trying to understand your perspective. You're trying to understand theirs. So when you've had those instances, how do you kind of handle that?
Well, I think what coaches want is consistency from officials. They want to know that what's called this week will be called next week.
And on both sides of the game. Yeah.
Yes, and whether it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter. So that's what I'm trying to get across to them, so that they know on a Saturday and so that they can coach during the week, this is how these guys call the game.
There's a lot of different personalities in the ACC as far as coaches. What can you say about maybe some memorable personalities of some of the head coaches so far?
You know, they do run the gamut of different personalities.
Yeah.
You know, we had spring meetings in May where I got a chance to sit down with all the coaches, and really what impressed me with them was their intelligence. Mm-hmm. Guys like David Cutcliffe of Duke and Paul Johnson of Georgia Tech, very, very bright guys. That's one thing that's really stood out.
Outside of them, Jimbo Fisher is a personality in and of himself. I said I talk a lot, and I always blame it on being Italian, but I said Jimbo Fisher's the first person that I've ever met that can interrupt himself in a sentence.
That's accurate.
What did you take away from Jimbo?
He is a personality, and it was really interesting to interact with him. You know, obviously he's got one of the top programs in the country, and his perspective, I think, maybe is a little different than someone who doesn't have a program at that level,
right,
on different things, whether it's recruiting or scheduling.
So when he talks to you about his program, I've always spoken to him and seen him as a humble guy. Is that what you took away from him, despite the fact that he is so successful? Do you still see him being a humble coach at this
point? Yes, he's just a football coach. I mean, that's the message he sends to you, that he's a football coach and he enjoys the coaching, and his attitude seems to be, let's tee it up and play.
Boston College, Steve Adazio, we talked about him off the air a little bit, that he definitely has a fiery personality, and he would be somebody that I've said before that I would get up and play for in a heartbeat, because he just compels you, it's something inside of you, to stand up and take action. What have you taken away from Steve?
I worked a few games for Steve when I was on the field, and you were spot on. He's a very emotional person, but he is also very honest, very upfront with you.
Yeah.
Steve is very passionate about football, very passionate about his kids. And I think, like all coaches, he expects officials to approach the game with the same passion that he does.
NC State, Dave Doran, was there anything memorable that you took away from him? And as he's building a program that has taken some time, but he has some talent there, I know that things are getting better in their world, but him talking with you as a coordinator of officiating, what did you take away from him?
Well, I'm going to actually go down there next week and meet with Dave and with David Cutcliffe at Duke.
Okay.
Really be my first opportunity to really have one-on-one time with him, with both of them.
Wake Forest, Dave Clawson, have you gotten a chance to, he's going into his second year as
right.
a head coach. Have you gotten to talk to him? And if you have you been able to take anything away that was maybe memorable from him?
I did meet with Dave, had a great meeting with him, and you know, he's probably one of the younger coaches in the conference. Very energetic. He's going to do a terrific job there at Wake Forest. And yeah, I was just very impressed with his professionalism.
Virginia Tech, have you gotten to get around their coaches, obviously, with, you know, Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer, who's been around for a very long time? And
yeah, I have a pretty good history with with Frank Beamer, you know, back from the his days in the Big East. You know, I did several of his games.
He seems like a very honest man. He doesn't, I mean, at least when I've interviewed him, if he thinks his team isn't ready or his running back isn't good enough, I mean, or if somebody's injured, there's some coaches that have that kind of shadow where they don't want you to know certain things, and they're trying to, you know, figure out how do I not let it out into the media that this guy's not ready, whereas Frank Beamer, it seems like he'll just tell you whatever there is to say.
He's a terrific guy. He is, I mean, probably by far the elder statesman when it comes to tenure in the ACC. He's just a gentleman. He's a terrific man. I enjoyed working for him when I was on the field, and I'm going to enjoy working with him from this position.
Mike London in Virginia, have you gotten to get to know him at all?
You know, I haven't been there yet. I did a few of his games, you know, the last couple years. And Mike's a terrific guy, and he's got a great personal story, you know, his background in law enforcement and such. But I haven't been down there yet to visit them.
Pat Narduzzi is new in Pitt, so... And obviously, you know, you can hear the rumblings of a positive change. Not that Paul Chris didn't do good things while he was there. What's been your relationship, or have you had any relationship with Pat Narduzzi and his travels?
Yeah, I met with Pat and his staff last week, and he is a very energetic coach. I think he'll do a great job there at Pitt. Paul Chris is a terrific guy, and I had a great relationship with him. You know, Pat's coming, I think, from Michigan State. I think that's where he was an assistant. And you know, he's bringing energy to that program.
I know that there are some teams that, at the time we're speaking, you still have to go down and see, but you've been able to say some things about David Cutcliffe still at Duke, Larry Fedora at North Carolina. Have you built a relationship with him and taken anything away from him?
You know, I only met him at the spring meetings.
Okay.
And I did a couple games for him over the last couple years, but I haven't been down there to visit them yet.
Knowing that you're now the coordinator of officiating, not that you haven't been in the ACC, but knowing how much of the ACC is in the state of North Carolina, what do you think about that in establishing, like you said, an equality, and that Syracuse is treated the same as North Carolina, is treated the same as Miami, is treated the same as Duke? How do you go about handling that when some conferences get that question of, you know, the majority of your teams are based right here, so aren't these the teams that are going to get more of the benefit of the doubt? How do you handle that?
Well, you know, the ACC is no longer a Carolina-Virginia conference. You know, with BC, I mean, BC, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Louisville. As I said, we do Army games. We do Notre Dame games as well. And when you throw Miami and Florida State into the mix, it's not the old ACC. So in terms of one school or one region being looked upon any different, I don't think that's the case at all.
Hey, Central New York, this is your wake-up call. It's your favorite Kill Girls, Pamela and Storm. Have you visited our location between Brugger's and Hampton Inn, right off of Erie Boulevard?
Come visit our world-famous Kill Girls and be immersed in the best sports experience of your life.
Tilted Kilt, your premier sports pub wear.
A cold beer never looks so good.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at dreisigapparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com. And all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
You had experience in the Big East with Miami, but now with Al Golden, how much do you know of him, and what can you say about what he does and kind of maybe what you've taken away from him?
Al, I think he was at Temple prior to coming to Miami, so I worked for him there, and I did some games for him when when I was on the field when he was at Miami, and I like working for Al. He's an upfront, honest guy who will tell you like it is. And again, he's an emotional guy, and he's passionate, and he wants his officials to take the same approach, passionate approach to officiating.
Is he tough on the field?
Not any tougher than any other coach.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Dabo Sweeney, Clemson, what can you say about him?
You know, Dabo was the leader of the head coaches at the spring meeting. So he was the one who led them in their meetings with athletic directors and other administrators at the spring meeting. And very impressive, the way he conducted those meetings and the way he led those meetings. And he's got a great program going at Clemson.
When he's leading the coaches, do you take anything special away from that, knowing that there's 14 different coaches there in the ACC, but he's kind of heading it up and facilitating it? I mean, do you take anything from that?
I was just impressed with the way he handled it. You know, it's a rotating position. I think Larry Fedora has it next year, but I was just very impressed with how he handled himself with the athletic directors and the other administrators.
The two teams we haven't talked about, Louisville under Bobby Petrino again. He's back, obviously going into his second season this time around. What can you say about Bobby Petrino and maybe anything memorable about him at this point?
Well, he and I, you know, we're both in the Big East at the same time. His first time around at Louisville, so there's some familiarity there, and I think that helps. He and I have always gotten along great, you know, when I was on the field.
Yeah.
And I expect to continue that in this position.
And then finally with Syracuse, I know you said the staff is a lot of new guys to you, but being in the ACC the last couple of seasons, what can you say about Scott Schaefer and if you've really gotten to have any in-depth experience with him or anything that you've been able to take away?
You know, I had worked a couple of his games, but I really got to know him a little better at the spring meetings, and since then, just as you mentioned, I was up there this morning. Syracuse is lucky to have him. He is a first-class individual who does things the right way. He's the kind of guy you meet him, you spend time with him, you have to walk away impressed with him and just the way he operates.
When you say Syracuse, and I know you just described a little bit, when you said Syracuse is lucky to have Scott, what are his characteristics or the way that he carries himself that stands out to you? Because I agree with you, and I said the most important thing that this city can do is not stop believing in Scott Schaefer. What can you say about maybe some of his character traits that have obviously made you say what you say about Syracuse being lucky to have him?
Well, you know, he doesn't have the same personality as Paul Pasqualoni, but he approaches the job the same way. He's extremely hardworking. He's honest. He's upfront with you. He has no agenda.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a football coach. He really cares about the kids. I think his number one rule in recruiting is probably he wants quality kids first. It's the first thing he looks at. He's just an impressive guy.
When you sat down with him and his staff, did you get to meet everybody on the staff?
Everyone was there. I couldn't give you all their names right now, but the entire staff was in the room, yes.
What did you take away from them, not knowing many of them, like you said? Did anything stick out about the staff as a whole at Syracuse?
Well, you could see that they have great respect for Scott Schaefer. He's clearly the leader of that group, and they all have respect and really admiration for him. That's really what stuck out.
Coming from Camillus, New York, and now having Syracuse as one of the teams that is going to be in this conference that you're overseeing, what's that like for you to come from upstate New York, and then it's interesting in the world of sports and in life in general how things seem to come full circle. So you're still going to be involved some way with upstate New York, even though there's teams all over the Atlantic coast.
You know, when I was on the field, I would work, typically work one game a year at the Dome, and it didn't bother me really to work Syracuse games. And the fact that now I'm the supervisor with them in the conference, really no effect. It's just a shorter drive to go to games.
And how are you going to handle the travel for you? Are you going to go see every team? Are you going to go to games every week? I mean, how does your schedule kind of work out as a coordinator of officiating?
I am going to try and see every team and every crew this season. And, you know, we have several Thursday games. We have a Friday game. We have a Monday night game, Labor Day night, Virginia Tech and Ohio State.
Yeah.
So I will try and see every team during the season.
What's it going to be like for you, as I know that you're a proud grandfather, that and family being important to you, to be on the road? How is that going to, how has the family responded, and how have you responded to being on the road? Not that you haven't before, but that now you're the coordinator of these officials.
Yeah, it will be more travel, no question about it. As I told the ACC commissioner when I interviewed for the job, the first person that I talked to about this was my wife, because without her support, this wouldn't work at all. And I think she was more excited than me when I got the job. So that's important. She's behind this 100%. And my kids love it. It will be a lot of travel in the fall. No question about that.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or ice milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, 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 with the Bamboo Line Relax Fit Clothing, as well as the Athletic Fit Clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DreissigLady.com Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing, and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissigLady Lady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You go out to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place,
but a piece of home. Go to CamsPizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. CamsPizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S Pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria, truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to. Supporting a United States veteran is something that shouldn't even be a question on your mind. The freedom for me to stand here today as a broadcaster, to have started my own company, comes from sacrifices made by United States veterans. Give back to them by buying the book 15 Feet for Free. It was created by Jim Lee, Syracuse Orange alum, to help basketball players around the country to learn and to grow in the sport, but at the same time, he created the book with a bigger message. By going to AuthorHouse.com and buying 15 Feet for Free, half of every single book that's bought goes back to the United States veterans. He wanted to do something special for his father, who was a veteran, and for veterans everywhere. So go to AuthorHouse.com now and buy 15 Feet for Free. It doesn't take much to give back to a United States veteran. AuthorHouse.com, 15 Feet for Free. Give back to them today.
What are the things that we should know about you as a coordinator of officiating, not just in the ACC, but in general? What are some main components that you think are going to make you a good leader for the ACC?
You know, I think what you'll see is a level of expectation that I have from the officials, and it's the same thing I expected of myself when I was on the field. To be in shape, to know the rules, to treat this avocation, which officiating is, with the seriousness and professionalism it deserves. That's what I expect of our guys. And I'll treat them fairly and in terms of my evaluation of them. We have to put a good product on the field. There's a lot at stake in these games.
What's it going to be like for you to have consistent phone calls with all the coaches to go over any questions they might have?
You know, that's part of the job. There will be calls this year that our guys make that coaches will disagree with. And sometimes we'll be right, sometimes they'll be right, sometimes we'll agree to disagree. I'm sure they'll all be professional, and I will too. It's just part of the job.
So, to close, when you look at what college football is today, and you're going to be in a Power 5 conference, continue to do that, do you feel that even outside of the world of officiating, that instead of having college football and professional football, we now have college football, semi-pro of the Power 5, and then professional? I mean, do you think some of these rules and full cost of attendance, and do you think it's going to change the climate and break it into two different factions as opposed to being one college football division of all these teams? I mean, how do you kind of look at it?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the business of college football, if you will, to comment on that. There's still nothing like a college football game on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. I would, regardless of whether I was working at Clemson or a Division III school, every time I walked out on the field, I would just look around and say, this is a long ways from doing, you know, junior high school games in Camillus. It's been a great run for me on the field, and I look forward to it, the same sort of run in the supervisor position.
Last thing to close, because I think it's important for everybody listening in, whether you're 60 years old and still looking for your passion, or you're 14 years old trying to discover what you love, what can you say to people that are out there dreaming?
You know, everybody comes from somewhere. And everybody has a story. I mean, your story is a great story that you told me earlier about how you've progressed in your passion for what you do. And, you know, if you have a passion for broadcasting, you have a passion for football officiating, you never know where it's going to lead. As I say, everybody comes from somewhere.
Well, Dennis, I can honestly, I'm going to say the words, but I don't think that they fit. It's a pleasure having you on the show. It's even better, and I tell people this, and I apologize for those listening, but I say, I always tend to say, and I said this when I talked to Floyd Little, there's so many things that we talked about today that I think are valuable that people can take away, and it's a timeless conversation that we had as you begin your chapter as the ACC coordinator of officiating, but the best of the best came off the air too. So I want to thank you for the time that you spent, not just on this, but in general, and that I got to see the face before everything had started, and I'm going to make you keep your promises that I end up in these control rooms seeing some of this stuff. But it's going to be a pleasure knowing that I met you on day zero, so to speak, as we go forward. So I thank you for that.
Well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate you having me.